Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Would you pass this forward, please? Amen. I want to read to you from the Word of the Lord. I believe that God is going to do something in this service, something else. He's already done something for some of you. But I believe He's not finished here today. How many of you want to hear from the Lord? Let's read our scripture text and then we'll pray and be seated. It says in the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway," everybody say straightway, "left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, whom by the way the Bible calls the sons of thunder, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately," everybody say immediately, "left the ship and their father and followed him." I don't know about you, but I find this story amazing. Because I don't know about you, but I know that if a total stranger walked up to me and said, "Follow me," I would leave behind my job and just take off. I don't know that I'd leave my father in a boat without question and just go. But the Bible says that straightway Peter and Andrew left, and immediately James and John left. Praise God. I want to speak to you today for just a little while. If you will bear with me. And how many of you are going to help me preach in spirit today? Will you? I want to preach to you about being available. Being available. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for what we feel in this service and what we have felt. We pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts and minister to us today. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Why don't you shake hands with somebody before you're seated? The Bible says that, and we often skim over this passage, and we've heard it, many of us have heard it since Sunday school, where Jesus called Peter and Andrew, James and John, and he said, "Follow me." And all we know that he said was, "I'll make you fishers of men." He didn't explain who he was, what his purpose was, what was going on, what his plans were, what his intentions were. But yet the Bible says that Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and James and John immediately left everything that they were doing and they followed him. I just find that strange. I find that amazing. And I started thinking that of all of the people that Jesus could have selected in his ministry to be his disciples, think about it. There were thousands, probably hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people in Galilee, in Jerusalem, in Nazareth, where he was from, in Bethlehem, where he was born. There were hundreds of thousands of people, again, very probably millions in that area. There were those that were more educated. There were those that were more intelligent. There were those that had greater degrees or diplomas, that were more charismatic. We know that Peter was raw. He was not the most charismatic individual in the world. And he had some personality problems and issues. And James and John are called the sons of thunder, not because they were just these dynamic personalities, but they once wanted to call fire down on people out of heaven. They were volatile. Sometimes they had attitude problems. But yet, as I thought about what would cause Jesus to select the 12 that he selected, what were the qualities that made the 12 who they were? One of them was a tax collector, Matthew. Again, they were not people that were particularly qualified from an earthly standpoint. But the disciples of Jesus were unique, all 12 of them, in the sense that they completely, totally, and absolutely surrendered to Jesus from the moment that they saw him. When he came to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," there was something that he saw in that rough fisherman, Simon Peter. There was something that he saw in him that he didn't see in everybody. But he saw a man that would just let go of his net and say, "I'll follow you." There was something that he saw in Andrew, something that he saw in the sons of thunder, James and John. And he knew when he called them that they would leave everything behind and they would follow him. You see, above everything else, making yourself available to God is the most important thing that you can do. It's more important than how much you know. It's more important than who you know. It's more important than how smart you are, how pretty you are, how handsome you are. Complete and total surrender to God and making yourself available to him. Whatever his will is the most important thing that you can do. We sometimes speak in the church of a word called yielding. And we talk about how that when a person, in order for a person to receive the Holy Ghost, they have to learn to yield to God. What does that word yield mean? That word yield means to surrender. The Old Testament talks about land yielding its crops and its produce. It surrendered its fruit to its masters. The Bible talks about Jacob when he died. It says that he yielded up the ghost. In other words, he yielded up his spirit. In death, he surrendered his spirit in death. Jesus hung on the cross, and with his dying breath, the Bible says he yielded up his spirit at the crucifixion. He surrendered completely his spirit, his human spirit, to the will of God. Yielding is the opposite of rebellion. Rebellion is resistance against God. It's resistance against what God wants you to do. Paul said in Romans 6 and 11, and I know I've got quite a bit of scripture, but as I was cutting some out and trying to pare it down to be as efficient and as short as possible, I just couldn't bring myself to cut too much out. But it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield or surrender your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." In other words, don't surrender your arms, your legs, your bodies to unrighteousness. But he said, "Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. For the wages of sin is death." And I want to say in 2011 that the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You see, Paul said you surrender your bodies to the Lord when you become his child. And that means making oneself completely and totally available to God. When you yield to God, you say, "I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll live how you want me to live. I'll be what you want me to be. Lord, I will go and do and be whatever it is you want out of me in my life." Yes. You see, rebellion sets conditions. Rebellion says, I'll go as long as. Rebellion says, I'll be as long as. Rebellion says, I'll live as long as. Rebellion says, I'll do as long as. But complete yielding says, there are no conditions, Lord. The only condition that I'll lay on it is that you'll go with me. And if you'll promise me that you'll go with me, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. When God called me to preach, I was in pre-medicine in college. And he had been dealing with me for some time. And I'll never forget sitting in a, of all places, a biology classroom with about 200 other students. And while the biology professor babbled on and on, the Holy Ghost was talking to me. And I literally sat up in this auditorium where this biology class was going on. And tears streamed down my cheeks. As I finally said, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. I will be what you want me to be. And I went home that weekend and I told my pastor that. And to my shock and astonishment, he said, I want you to preach on Sunday. I think this was on a Friday. And he said, I want you to preach on Sunday. I said, oh, my Lord, I've never preached in my life. And he said, I want you to preach on Sunday. And then I want you to preach next week and the week after that and the week after that. And meanwhile, I knew other people that were begging to get in the pulpit. And I didn't even want to be there. But I told the Lord that first service that I preached, and I think I might have preached for 10 minutes. I've still got it on tape somewhere. Mama's got it. All of about 10 minutes. The first message I ever preached was, unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. But you know what? Before I got up that night, I said, the only thing I ask of you, Lord, I make one deal. That's the only thing I ask, is that when I get into the pulpit, that you are there and that the anointing is there. I will go where you want me to go. I'll preach what you want me to preach, but I want you to be with me. Yes. Yes. Amen. Acts 9 says, and Paul, that is, or Saul rather, which later became Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. See, he was killing the Christians. It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I want you to understand the next thing that Paul said. And this was what separates Peter and John and James and Andrew and Paul from everybody else. It's the first thing Paul said is, who are you? Who am I talking to? But when the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Paul didn't say, what is in it for me? What kind of a deal are you going to give me? What kind of money are you going to make me? What kind of profit is there? But the next words out of Paul's mouth were, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. In other words, I've got somebody there that's going to preach to you and tell you what you need to do, Paul. And I want you to know that when Paul went to Ananias, before he ever got to Ananias, the Bible said that Ananias had already heard from the Lord. And the Lord told Ananias, he said, when Paul gets here, he said, you tell him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. He didn't say, tell Paul when he gets here that I've got a limousine waiting for him. He didn't say, tell him when he gets here I've got a mansion for him. But he said, tell him that I've got some things he's got to suffer. But he was available. Paul never questioned it. Paul never said, okay, let me think about this for a little while. Lord, let me pray about this for a few days before I can decide whether I want to accept this deal or not. Paul simply said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Romans 8:13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means kill, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I just want to say this as a side note today, that I am sick and tired of the children of God, specifically the children of God in this church, from feeling bound and from feeling that spirit of bondage and that spirit of fear and that spirit of discouragement. Amen. The Lord spoke to me this week as I was preparing this. He said, listen, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Don't you let the devil tell you that you are anything less, but you need to realize today that you are a child of God, and you don't have a spirit of bondage to fear, but you've got a spirit of adoption, and you cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say, I'm a child of God. Amen. Somebody needs to say, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I know that I have failed. I know that I've not always been all that I ought to be. But I can still say, I'm a child of God. Somebody needs to say, I have the spirit of adoption. I have the spirit of a son of God because I'm one of his children.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I rebuke that spirit of bondage. I rebuke that spirit of fear. I rebuke that spirit of oppression. I rebuke that spirit of depression today. Hallelujah. God says if you'll be available, if you will allow yourself to be used, I'm going to use you. He says I don't need anything else but you to make yourself available unto me. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody stretch your hand toward heaven right now. Claim it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. The song said, once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with love and compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Hallelujah. You need to claim it today in Jesus' name. I don't care what the devil says. When you yield yourself, when you yield yourself, I said when you make yourself available, when you make yourself available, hallelujah, hallelujah. The book of Romans said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Some of you feel like you're dragging around that body of flesh, but Paul said it was crucified. That body of sin was crucified. If you yield yourself as a servant of righteousness, if you yield yourself as a servant of the Lord, God is going to use you and work through you.
Hallelujah.
That's all right. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. What he was saying is, I laid the old man on the altar and I said, Lord, I'm yielding to you. I give my life up for you. There's no part of me that belongs to me anymore. When I surrender to you, I surrendered my house. I surrendered my car. I surrendered my clothes. I surrendered my job. I surrendered my career. I surrendered my plans. I surrendered my future. I surrendered everything. Lord, there's nothing that I'm holding back. I crucified it all on an altar. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to do what you want me to do.
Praise God. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy,
peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, yield yourself. Surrender yourself. And he said, God forbid that I should glory, Galatians 6:14, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. In other words, the world is dead to me. He didn't mean the people. He didn't mean souls. If anybody ever loved souls, Paul loved souls. But Paul wasn't talking about souls. What he was talking about was the spirit of the world. And he was saying there's nothing that about the demonic spirits of the world and of the flesh and the lusts of the world. It's all been crucified to me. James 4 says, listen to this, verse 6 through 10. James, oh, I love the elder James. By the way, this is one of those sons of thunder. He said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit or surrender yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. In other words, when you surrender and you yield and you submit to him, when you do that, the Lord says he's going to give you grace. He's going to give you the ability to overcome everything that's going to come in your life. He said, draw nigh to God and he's going to draw closer to you. When you step towards him, he's going to step back in your direction. When you humble yourself in his sight, he's going to lift you up. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, folks. There have been times that I have resisted the will of God in my life and I have paid a heavy price. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? I've resisted his will. And one thing I've learned to pray is every day when I pray, every day when it's just me and the Lord, I don't pray, God, give me another house, or God, give me another car, or God, give me money, or give me a better job, or give me this, or give me that. But the first thing that I pray is, God, I want to be in your will, because I've stepped out of your will before, and I know what happens when I get out of your will. But Lord, if I'm walking in your will, then I know that you're walking by my side. I know that if I'm in your will, that everything is going to work out. I say, Lord, I don't want to pastor this church if it's not your will. Lord, I don't want to minister to people if it's not your will. I don't want to lead these people if it's not your will. Because I've gone down that route before. I'll tell you something, when you get in the will of God, you can be in the poorest neighborhood in Calcutta, India, and be happy. When you get in the will of God, you can be in a dirt hut in Africa and be happy, because you know that you're in the will of God. When you're in the will of God, you can be in a jungle in the Amazon and ministering to people and know that you're in the will of God. When you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter where you are. You'll know that everything is going to work out. Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. I spoke to someone about it just this week. We were talking about the church and how the church has changed. I'm talking about the organized church over the last 100 years or so, in so many different areas, areas of modesty, areas of godliness. And I said, the Bible doesn't say to the church, conform to the world so that you can reach the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I told this individual, I said, I see that the church has changed. It isn't the world that's changed. The world is going ever faster down the road to hell. And the church is changing faster and faster, trying to catch them. But the problem is the church is running down the same path. He said, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't change to adapt to the world. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. In other words, You need to find the will of God. Get your mind renewed. The Bible tells the story of how the Israelites were sent into captivity. The Israelites had sinned. They had spent many years in sin and they had rebelled against God. And so God sent prophets to warn them and they rejected the prophets. And finally, God got fed up with it. And here's what happened. This is instructive for all of us to learn. When the children of Israel rebelled against God, God sent them into captivity. He sent prophets and the prophets said, you're going to go into captivity. The Babylonians are going to come, the Medes, the Persians, the Assyrians, they're going to take you, they're going to make captives out of you. But here's the beautiful thing about that. Look at what the Lord said to him in 2 Chronicles 30, 8 and 9. He said, now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were. In other words, it's because of what your fathers did that you are ending up in captivity. But yield yourselves unto the Lord. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive. In other words, God said this, when you go into captivity, and oh, believe me, you are going into captivity because you deserve it. But God said, but when you get there, he said, if you'll go peaceably, if you'll keep your nose clean, if you'll serve me, and if you'll submit yourself to me, he said, I'll touch your captors so that they'll treat you right. He said, I'll bless you even in your captivity. But he said, you know what? If you get an attitude and you think, and there were some that thought, we ain't going into captivity. We're not slaves. We're not going to, you know, God wouldn't allow this to happen to us. Anybody ever heard that before? They said, God's not going to let us go into captivity. And the prophet said, oh, yes, he will. You better listen to him. You better go. You better take your medicine and you better behave yourself while you're there. But look at what the Lord said would happen. He said that eventually you'll come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. In other words, he said, I'm seeing you. I know you're in captivity. I haven't forgotten you. You're being punished right now, but I still love you. I'm your parent. I'm your father. I haven't stopped loving you because you're in captivity. If you will yield to my will, if you will submit yourself to my will, then I will bless you even in your captivity. There are times that I think I know what those Israelites felt like. There have been times I felt like I was in captivity for a while. Anybody ever been there? But you know what? The Lord says, if you'll take that, if you won't rebel. See, a lot of people, when they go into spiritual captivity and God's trying to instruct them and he's trying to chasten them, you know what a lot of people do? They get mad. Well, I just quit church. I quit living for God because God's punishing me right now and I don't like him anymore. As though that is somehow going to lessen the effect of the captivity. But a wise man, wise woman will say, Lord, there's something you're trying to teach me through this right now. You're trying to teach me something in captivity. You're trying to keep me from making this mistake again. You're trying to keep me from failing again. And I want to learn whatever it is. I want to surrender to you. You might want me to stay in captivity a while. I like what sister, oh my goodness, what's her name? Doty, Sister Linda Doty. She's a Christian psychologist, an apostolic Christian psychologist down just out Winsboro, outside of Columbia. And she wrote an article one time that had such an impact on me because she said so many people come to a pastor with problems. And they say, Pastor, I'm in this problem right now. Now get out your little magic wand and wave it around and fix my problem. And they don't understand that their problem did not happen overnight. And she goes on to say in this article, the problem is they want a quick fix. And they often don't realize that God wants you to stew in your problem for a little while. It's sort of like the kid that gets arrested and ends up in jail. And the parent says, I think I'll let you spend the night there. Yeah. If you bail them out every time they get in trouble, guess what happens? They continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And so God says to us, you know, the people come to the pastor, they want the pastor to wave the magic wand and say, presto change-o, everything is fixed. And then they get mad at the pastor and say, well, you must not have the power of God because you couldn't fix my problem. The last thing that people want to hear from the pastor is, God wants you to suffer for a little while. He won't keep too many members that way, even though it's the truth. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear somebody say, oh, I feel a new car. Woo! Never mind that you've mismanaged your finances for years. And so people will flock after that kind of thing because they don't want to hear the prophet say, God wants you to stay in captivity. That's what the prophet said. You just read it. He said, God wants you to stay there and he wants to keep your nose clean while you're there. If you'll do that and prove that you learned your lesson, you'll come out of it. And when you come out of it, you'll be stronger. And guess what? When you come out of it, you can look back on the captivity and you can say, thank God where he brought me from. You can look back on it and you can say, Lord, I've learned my lesson. I'm not ever going to do the things that put me in captivity in the first place. Y'all ain't left me yet, have you? God said, even though Israel was in captivity, the part that I love about it is the Bible said, the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you. No matter how many times they were unfaithful to God, no matter how many false idols they worshiped, the Lord says, just because I'm punishing you doesn't mean that I don't love you. The Bible says, those that he loves, he chastens. And the worst thing you can do is buck against the chastening of the Lord. Instead, you've got to yield yourself to it. My dad used to whoop us. We call it whoop in South Mississippi. Now, y'all might call it whip in other places. But in South Mississippi, we got a whooping. If somebody had said, did you get a whipping? We would have said, what is that? We know what a whooping is. We used to get them. And dad used to say, this is back before it was illegal. Dad used to say, if you'll be still and take it, it won't last as long. And it'll be over before you know it. But if you run from me, every step you take, I'm going to add another lick to it. And what he was saying is, if you yield yourself to the chastening, it's going to be a lot better off in the long run. But if you say, I'm going to buck against it, I'm not going to yield to this, then you're asking for trouble over and over and over again. It may be that God wants me to minister to thousands. It may be that he just wants me to minister to the few that are here today. I want you to know, I don't care as long as I know that I am in his will. Sometimes it's hard for us to surrender to his will because we've got our own ideas about the future. We've got our own ideas about what we want to do in our lives. And when you get out of the will of God, his grace can seem like a million miles away. But you know something? When you get into his will, his grace takes over. And things that were hard aren't hard anymore. And things that were discouraging aren't discouraging anymore. And things that were troublesome aren't troublesome anymore. Because when you get into the will of God, it seems like there is this breath of fresh air that comes over you and gives you additional strength. That's what the grace of God is. It's God blowing down on you and saying, hey, I'm going to give you some respite from the storm and from the rain and from the wind and from the heat. I'm going to soothe you and I'm going to help you through this. Because you're in my will. Praise God. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. God is calling somebody to be in his will today. Somebody to make themselves available. Somebody to yield themselves to him. Maybe God's been talking to you about doing something for his kingdom. I don't know. I just know that I want to be in his will. Well, preacher, how do I know if I'm in his will or not? If you truly desire to be in his will and you ask him, he will start talking to you, believe it or not. He will. I speak from personal experience. You'll know. You'll know. It's that still small voice. Hallelujah.
Let's sing that song, I Will Give You All. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I will give you all.
Oh, yes.
I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold.
I will not withhold. If my sacrifice,
is less
than giving you my very best. Help me remember
Calvary's cross.
And be willing to say yes.
Willing to say yes.
Oh yes, let's stand and sing it. Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, help me remember
Calvary's cross.
Hallelujah.